Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. And today I am so excited to introduce my next guest, Andrew Thomas. He is actually a teammate of mine at Tribal Boxing, and he is the person that actually trained me in my first boxing class at Titans MMA. Now, Andrew, he competes in amateur boxing, but he is actually an MMA fighter. He has a history of starting off in wrestling, then going into jiu-jitsu, and then doing some MMA and kickboxing events as well as boxing. So it's really interesting to hear his insights because he has been in almost literally all aspects of martial arts and mixed martial arts. So it should be a really interesting podcast, and here he is now. Hello, Andrew. How are you doing today?
Good. And yourself?
Not too bad. Happy New Year.
As well, man. It's been a while since I've seen you with the gym being closed and stuff.
Yeah. How are you taking it? You doing all right?
I'm doing good, man. Fit Plus has been going. So, like, I've been training, like, a lot of Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, been boxing over there. I've been going pretty steady, man.
Awesome. And how's the coaching situation there? Is somebody taking over the mantle yet for Fit Plus?
Scott McLean, who's the MMA coach, he took over for Charlie.
Awesome.
Zach Garcia, who teaches a couple nights a week. So we got like a good crew of teachers over there.
Awesome. So you get, you know, another gym so yeah, you are an interesting guy because we first met at another gym,
Titans.
And funny enough, you actually taught me my first boxing class. I don't know if you remember.
It was like what, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's been awesome to still be training with you. We're at Tribal now. So do you consider yourself an MMA fighter and a boxer, or how do you look at yourself?
Definitely an MMA fighter. I haven't fought MMA since like 2016. So it's been like at least 5-6 years. Definitely a boxer too, though. Like, it was weird. My uncle Dale on my mother's side was one of the coaches at Tribal when I first joined. And I've come through, like, I had a girl I dated who did my ancestry, and I found out there's like a ton of boxers in my blood on my mother's side. So I'm a bit of both, man. It's hard. Like, I love boxing. I like MMA. They're two different sports. Boxing is like gritty and way more of a chess game, whereas MMA is like a mix of everything. You got your jiu-jitsu, your boxing, your Muay Thai, your wrestling.
And when you transitioned to Tribal, was this kind of the first time that you did strictly like boxing training?
No. So when I first started, it was 2012, 2013. I did like a month of straight boxing and MMA when I first started with Brandon Brewer.
Okay.
But like, I guess in Nova Scotia, Tribal was the first time I ever did strictly boxing.
So you mentioned Brandon Brewer. So you were in New Brunswick?
Yeah. That's actually my start. I moved in grade 11. I moved to New Brunswick to wrestle with UMB. And I wrestled there for a year. I got bored of it. One of the guys did jiu-jitsu, and I quit wrestling. So I was like, man, let me try jiu-jitsu. So I did jiu-jitsu for a week. The week came, like, we're having a tournament. So I entered it. I think I got third in no gi. And I think I got like third in the gi or something. And then one of the guys, Mike Fitz, was like, bro, I got a fight coming up. Can you help me? And I started helping him with wrestling. And then before I knew it, I was hooked, man. I was getting ready for my first fight. And the rest is history. We're here now. I just caught the bug and never really stopped.
That's awesome. And that's awesome that you're representing UMB and wrestling. Can you kind of describe your start to wrestling? And I'm guessing wrestling is how you got into eventually to mixed martial arts and boxing.
Yeah. So I was like Grade 7, grade 8, man, I was like 4'9", this tiny little kid getting picked on. Everybody picked on me, and I got sick of it, and I wanted to play sports. I, like, played a bit of soccer in school, played paintball, and I gave wrestling a try, and I did it. Like, I wrestled, I learned, went to my first tournament, and, like, pinned everybody. Like, I remember, like, it was yesterday. I had on those, like, old school, like, button-up pants you could tear off. And it was like tearing them off, this scrawny little kid pinning everybody. And then from that day on, no one picked on me and I found wrestling.
And wrestling is not an easy sport. Can you kind of talk a little bit to everybody? Because maybe some people are just more like into boxing or MMA, but wrestling is just like a sport. It's a very brutal sport, right?
Yeah, man, it's a grind. Basically you versus somebody else and you got to break their will and manhandle them and make them quit. Like it's a tough sport, man. Like when I first started, again, I was small. All my training partners were women, like really? High school age, and they were smashing me. Like they were smashing me until I got a bit bigger and got good. And then I don't know, just fell in love with wrestling, and wrestling really saved me, because I found, like, Corey Robinson was my coach, Reese McDonald brought me into it, and I found something that I really liked, and I really excelled at it, because before that, I didn't really play any sports. I was kind of looking for something, kind of lost, and wrestling found me.
And getting into wrestling, was there any, did you grow up watching any of, like, the pro wrestling, or was there something that kind of you grabbed onto in your journey with wrestling that kind of inspired you? Or
I watched a lot of pro wrestling. Then once I started actually Olympic wrestling, I grew to hate it, because we'd have fundraisers and everybody's be like, oh, when are you going to throw the chair at me? And like all this pro wrestling stuff. So I don't know, man, I just stumbled across it. Like looking at sports, I wanted to play sports and wrestling seemed cool, so I gave it a try.
And like, what's a typical day like when you were at UNB? Like, did you have meets every single week and practices, and did you have competitions that you would have had?
So when I was at UNB, I was on the UNB's university teams, actually a club team. So we trained 4 mornings a week, and then we practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We had Sunday off. Mm-hmm. So we went 6 days a week, 4 mornings a week. So it was a workload. I'm also like a high school kid. So I'm getting up, training in the morning, going to high school, then rushing back down to the gym to train at night. And like, I liked UMB, but man, it was like, honestly, it was kind of like a cult, bro. Coach would just be like, okay, coach said jump. We said how high. And we were just in that room every day. I'm like a high school kid. All I can do is like eat, sleep, and wrestle. I can't do any other sports. Like, it was good though.
Yeah. So I imagine eventually you kind of broke from that and maybe found some other things. So it was somebody that can you describe again how you transitioned to jiu-jitsu?
So there's a guy named Hassan Muhammad. He wrestled, and he was the MMA guy who was just trying to work on his wrestling for MMA. And he always talked about jiu-jitsu and all that stuff. So I just kind of hit him up, and I was like, bro, like, I'm bored. I'd quit wrestling at the time, so I was looking for something new. And I went and tried it out. Went to it was Double D MMA. It's now, I think it's Dana Dickinson. I forget what he calls his school now, but it's under black belt Dana Dickinson. Okay. So I joined there, and it was history. The rest is history, man. Doing jiu-jitsu and boxing, and it's a big different transition.
Yeah, and I guess the next kind of thing, because we could probably keep going on to, you know, everything MMA related. I'm just curious, first off, before we get into MMA, like, when did you start looking at boxing individually and start working on your boxing?
So the boxing thing, I was dating this girl who lived in Halifax. Mm-hmm. And we had like a horrible breakup, and I was training at Titans at the time. and I couldn't find Fights MMA. So I thought I'd box at, I thought I'd give Tribal a try, just to box, to work on my boxing until fights came. And then I don't know, when I found a home there, Bridget really took me in. Took me in, like, was huge, huge person in my life. They took me in with open arms, and I found a family there, and I just stayed.
Yeah, you guys both have a really strong relationship, and I wanted to just ask you, like, so you got, you have, like, if Tribal is a family to you, and more than that, like, what are some things that maybe you've learned through that transition to Tribal?
Learned a lot, man. It's weird, like, all the stuff we learn in class relates to everyday life, man. Like, walking away from negativity in the boxing ring, like walking away from negativity in real life, and never giving up. And when you find something that troubles you and scares you, you put yourself in the fire to get through it. Like, taught me a lot, man. She's given me a lot of strength and a lot of confidence, eyes to see things, like,
Yeah, because when I was first thinking about this podcast and everything like that, I was talking to Bridget, and we were talking about, like, who would be a good guest. And you were the first person that came to mind, because, you know, we've had chats, really entertaining chats, and you're a really entertaining guy and a really funny guy, in a good way. Like, you know, just, you can always shoot the shit with you. And, it's really awesome. You know, that I have somebody like you at the gym that I can talk with. And, and I guess what I would ask is, when you're going to the gym now, have you seen a big difference between your boxing when you first started to now?
Oh yeah. Like, funny story. So when I first met Bridget, I was at Titans.
Yep.
I was sparring with a guy named Rory Gillis.
Okay.
And Rory, like, me and Rory are going, big guy, he drops me. So Mo's there sparring with somebody. Bridget comes over, gives me a chair, tells me to sit down. I'm like, okay, cool. I sit there, halfway the round, I get back up, I get in there, I get dropped again. So she comes, gives me a chair, I swear at her, kick the chair away. She's like, fuck you, get the fuck away from me. I'm like, fuck you. And then 2 months later, I went over to Tribal to spar with, like, Gavin and some of the guys. Gavin's going over, and I went over there to spar with some of the guys, and I seen Bridget again, and I was like, yo, I'm sorry for what happened. She's like, no, it's cool, you're a fighter, but you should probably start learning, start doing classes here. And even for, like, for us to meet like that, then for them to take me in after that, man, it's like, that's love, bro. Because no, most other people you meet like that, they remember that and hold that against you, but she still took me in.
That's awesome. And, you know, maybe not everybody that's listening that's, knows Bridget, but she has certainly been, also a really big help in my life. And I'm sure many people's lives, very, gracious person. And I'm really excited that the gym's going to be opening up tomorrow. Cause, I plan on going. Are you going to be there tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be there. All right. I got Muay Thai at 7, but I'll probably be in from, like, 5 to 6:30 or so, and
okay.
Then head over to the other gym.
Okay. That's awesome. And yeah, there's been quite a few people that are at Tribal that also have interests like you, into MMA. Somebody like John Michael, who's been, having a tear, in the amateur boxing scene, but, he's only, how old is John Michael?
He's 13, man. That kid is scary.
13.
With grown men and holds. Yeah. I haven't seen a 13-year-old kid like train the level he does, and he holds his own, man. He works hard. Like, that kid's 13 now. You wait till he's 16, 17, he's gonna be a monster. Every time I see him, it's like he's grown. He's like 13 going on 30.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It's interesting, like, talking to him. He said he used to be a bigger kid, and then he finally went through his growth spurt, and, like, now he's just, you know, really tall, very, really lean. And does he want to get into MMA as well in the future?
Probably down the road, man. He's so young, he still hasn't even fought yet. It's so the future's his oyster, really, man, as far as what he goes. As long as he keeps training, he'll go far.
Look out for John Michael.
Oh yeah.
He's coming on the scene. Well, he already is on the scene, but he's gonna make a big splash. Another thing I wanted to bring up, you actually had a fight. You've had kickboxing fights as well, right?
Yeah, I had one.
You had one kickboxing fight. How did that go?
I won the decision. It wasn't bad. I took it on 3 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. It was a fun experience. Like my first ever three rounder, because like my MMA, I have five fights, and all four fights I've won in the first round.
Wow.
One fight I lost in the first round, but all four fights I've won in the first round by ground and pound. Take the kid, take him down and pound until the ref saves his life.
That's scary. Yeah, no, that means that you're an entertaining fighter, because, you know, when it comes in an MMA, especially because you know that something's going to happen, right, in the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a lot of finishes in amateur MMA at the beginning? Do you find on the cards you've been a part of?
Yeah, it depends on the skill level. I find there's like, you get a lot of jiu-jitsu guys who come to MMA and they don't want to strike and they want to play the ground. There's not much guys who strike. Like when I first started, I was a wrestler who would like throw a punch, get the takedown and pound guys out. So I find there's not much stand up and a lot more ground and pound.
And there's no elbows, right, on the ground?
No elbows to the body, but nothing to the head.
And that's a really vicious technique. So it's sad to see it not be able to be used, because I've seen like some fights where like people's face get opened up from elbows. It's really scary.
It's amateur, right? So you kind of get a differentiation.
Of course.
Pro. Otherwise, guys are basically taking pro fights for free, taking pro damage. Even in amateur fights, man, that's basically the same damage as 10 pro fights. And then you want to go pro after taking all that. It's like there has to be a distinction of between the two, so guys can kind of grow and develop before they make that jump.
That's 100% true. I never even thought of it in that way. So I guess what I would ask you is there any fights, like just as a fan watching, is there any fights that you've been watching recently or anything on the radar, any fights you're looking up to, looking forward to? It can be boxing, MMA, anything on your radar?
Like pro or like local?
Could be either or.
MMA, I'm definitely looking to see my boy Gaethje fight Oliveira, because I love Gaethje. Yeah. Another high-level wrestler with really good striking, really good footwork, violent on the feet against Oliveira, high-level grappler. Izzy versus Whitaker 2 is good. I was pumped for Max Hall for Holloway versus Volkanovski 3, but Max is hurt. Max is like, I've always been a big fan of
hurt?
Max. Yeah, he just got hurt. I've always been a big fan of Max. Ngannou Cyril Gane's going to be good, because when TKO flew us up to Montreal and I was supposed to have my debut up there, Cyril Gane was the main event. So I get to see him fight live, man. And he, for heavyweight, he moves like a flyweight. And then he stopped and like ripped a punch and like, I swear he hit Buddy's head through like the roof. Like that, like from seeing him then, I was like, man, he's scary. Sure enough, he was in the UFC. It's like you have a really hard-hitting heavyweight versus Cyril Gane who can move, he can crack, versus like a technical fighter. So it should be really good. Like boxing is good too. You got Yuga Spence. So much good boxing fights coming up between lightweight, welterweight. Like it's, I don't know. It's a fight fan's it's a fight fan's dream right now as far as fights go.
Just going back to Cyril Gane, Francis Ngannou, do you have a pick for that fight, or are you kind of 50-50 on that?
Hard to say, man, because like when you get at that level, the UFC, it's a game of inches. These guys aren't like running guys through. Now, Ngannou has really good power, but Cyril can move. So can Ngannou stalk Cyril to catch him with a shot, or can Cyril stick and move and catch Ngannou coming in It's really interesting, man. It's really what guy can get their game off first, and who can keep it up. Heavyweights at weight class where it's like one shot power can end a fight.
I was watching the Stipe rematch with Zingano. I think it was like 2 days ago, and the left hook that ended up dropping Stipe, and then the ground and pound to finish it. I guess that was even the real intended shot to put him out. He was trying to get him with a good right hand, and I guess he missed. But he's really good at just like, even though he's kind of exposing himself, he's got so much power, so much explosion that he's able to just keep going forward and taking people out. Do you think he will, Zingano, win or lose, do you think he's going to do this boxing, go into boxing?
Man, it's hard to say with boxing because you look like, yeah, he has crazy power. And his biggest thing in MMA now, you look at when he first fought Stipe, he was just kind of running at him. Now he can kind of slow guys down. He has power that he makes guys watch him. And when they watch him, he unloads a shot. So boxing, man, guys like Tyson Fury, Wilder, like he needs like 2-3 years of just straight boxing to hang at that level because like, yeah, MMA guys hit hard, but MMA and boxing are way two different things, man. This MMA, you're punching, the reason you're punching is different than you are in boxing. Different rounds, different pace. Like, it's hard to say. Like, yeah, he can go do well, but he's got to build up properly. He's got to get with a good boxing coach and take his time and build. Because you see him with Woodley, bro. Woodley and Jake Paul, man. Like, yeah, Woodley should beat Jake Paul, but you put the work into boxing and you train, man. Boxing isn't a sport you can jump into because unlike MMA, if you're getting beat up on the feet and taking the guy down, boxing, you're stuck there. So if you can't get it done, it's going to be a long night.
Were you impressed with what Jake Paul had done to Tyron Woodley? Because a lot of people were saying that the rounds before the knockout were kind of a rehash of the first fight, maybe not the most entertaining. Did you like that performance?
Woodley did better. So the first fight, Woodley kind of like, I don't know, I like Woodley. I've loved him since MMA, but he does this thing where he's like, he's moving around like he's going to punch, and then he steps back. He's like, oh, I should punch. Nah, I'm away. Oh, I should punch. Nah, I'm away. He just like gets caught watching. So he was way more aggressive. But Woodley's biggest thing is like he starts to get complacent in fights and starts to stop moving, stand still. And man, you stop for a second. That's all it takes to get hit. Jake set that punch up masterfully. Hit him to the body. See Woodley was always sweeping the punch away. And when he swept it away, he put that big overhand right and put him to sleep. Like it was art.
Yeah, and there was some videos that were coming out where people were trying to say that the whole thing was staged, that that Jake was kind of twisting his hand so that he could signal to Tyrone to let him punch. What do you think of when you get fans, not even just with that fight, but even with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury with the gloves and stuff? What do you think of these fans that make these really big conspiracy theories about fights, boxing fights?
People always say that Tyron Woodley didn't throw the fight. Jake Paul just caught him, man. It's the game. Same thing with the gloves. You got to realize, man, these guys, a guy like Deontay Wilder, he's been an alpha his whole career. He's I don't say he's going to find an excuse, but he's not going to come out and be like, oh, he's a better man. He's going to say, oh, he cheated. He's a champion, man. He doesn't want to give up to take that nod to be like, oh, he beat me fair and square. So it's these guys are going to say what they're going to say. Fans are going to say what they're going to say. But the difference is, man, a lot of these fans aren't in the gyms training, aren't going through what these guys are going through. It's really easy to sit back on a couch with beer and your buddies, say you would do this and that, until you actually get in there and do a class and see what these guys go through.
Okay. Next thing I want to talk about. So I've talked to you a little bit about this at the gym, but when it comes to MMA, a lot of people say that wrestling is one of the best backgrounds to have going into mixed martial arts. It just has a good foundation, and a lot of wrestlers that are in the UFC tend to be more explosive fighters. And I was just wondering, what kind of insight do you have? Is there Because I'm sure at Fit Plus, there's some people with more of a striking background and some with a jiu-jitsu background. And how do you weigh, you know, the difference, different discipline backgrounds into MMA?
Wrestling's really good for really controlling the fight. Because if you want to go out there, you know, you get guys there's a wide array of wrestlers. So we got like guys like GSP who go out, take guys down. And then we got guys like Gaethje, Chuck Liddell, who use the wrestling defensively to like sprawl and keep it on the feet. So in that sense, it's good. Like if you're fighting, anytime two wrestlers end up fighting, it's always a striking match. But if you're fighting a high-level striker, the wrestler can take him down, put him on his butt, and wet blanket him. And if you're fighting a grappler, you can sprawl, keep it on the feet, and stick and move. Like, wrestling helps in the cage. It's one of those things that it's really hard. It's hard to get because there's, like, guys train jiu-jitsu, guys train boxing. But, like, wrestling's the hardest thing to get because you get wrestling through, like, school. Like, unless you wrestle in school or college, it's hard to... It's one of those things that it's hard to get.
And one part of wrestling that a lot of people like to talk about is the weight cuts. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like cutting weight in school for wrestling?
Yeah, I cut a little bit of weight in school, but I didn't really start cutting until like 17, 18. And I'm like walking around probably 75 kilos. Mm-hmm. And I'm cutting down to like, so probably like 160 something, cutting down to 145. Like it's, the cuts are hard, man. Like it's.
Are they same day weigh-ins or?
No, day before weigh-ins.
Day before. Okay.
So like, we'll sit there. I remember the first time I ready to cut weight was like junior nationals. I'm like 17. My coach is like blocking the sauna door. So I can't get out. I'm in a sauna suit. And I'm sitting there, man, like we've spent a lot of days in the sauna. He's sitting there drinking water with us, like sweating, like, oh, the weight cuts are hell, man. Like, I get it. Like, you do it, but it's like, it's kind of one of those things that it's, sometimes it's more dangerous than good. Because you get a guy who's like killing himself to make a weight class when he could like fight up a weight and perform better.
Fair enough to say it's probably one of the worst parts of a wrestling or any fight that requires weight loss or weight cutting.
Oh, wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling for sure. But it's more bad in the States. Like I wrestled this kid in the state once at Mohawk. He beat me. He was probably beat me at like 150, 152, like 165. Mm-hmm. And or I think it was like 152. And he wrestled like 120 all year. Like super low, cut a lot of weight all year. So like, man, these guys in the States, they cut crazy weight, man. Like it's a skill in itself.
I imagine there's some repercussions maybe later on if you cut that much weight, right? Is there?
Oh yeah. It's horrible for your intestines, your body. Once you get into like MMA, like then when you cut all that weight and you rehydrate, your brain is like the last thing to rehydrate. So you cut that weight, you got to drink it back. And then you get in there, like, you get in healthy, you're hydrated and good enough to go. But if you don't rehydrate properly, then, like, you're depleted and you're not performing at your best because your body's probably running at, like, 30, 40%.
I forget what person had said this, but I remember hearing this quite a while ago. They believe that weight cutting is sanctioned cheating. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, I mean, I could see. So when I was signed with TKO,
yep.
Scott got me signed to TKO, supposed to fight this kid. This kid tried to cut from 190 to 155 and got sent to the hospital during his weight cut.
Aye.
Now he was a big 170, but he wanted to be an even bigger 55. So it's like, bro, if you're a big 170, just stay at 170. Why are you going to 155? Like, yeah, you're going to be a monster. But your body's going to be, your body's got like half its juice. It's like the cut's not worth it.
So you mentioned you were signed with TKO, and as a lot of people know that are MMA fans, that's the promotion that GSP had started in?
Yeah, I was signed to TKO Major League MMA. Me and my teammate at the time, Brad Sullivan, he was signed. And I joined Fit Plus, and I told Scott, I was like, bro, like, I want to go pro, man. I'm like 28. Like, I'm an amateur too long. So he was like, he got me a Muay Thai fight. And then he called me like a week later. It was like, bro, you want to fight for TKO? I can get you in. He got me in on like the backup, and a guy fell out. So he's like, listen, you want to take it? 2 weeks notice. I was cutting from 170 to 55. Hadn't made weight in like 3-4 years. Put in the work, made the weight. It was rough though, because like I had my, it's like my god kid's like birthday party. My weight was good. I left the gym at 165. So, like, you know, I have a salad. Went to Subway, had a salad, got home. I was like 170. Nice. And that was on like a Sunday. And we flew with that Tuesday. So I dieted my weight back down to 165, sweat, made the weight. Made the weight, got it done. That happened to my opponent, but I was ready to go.
So what, are you able to speak? What happened with the opponent?
So I guess like he had a fight for TKO. He was signed too, and his opponent fell through. So I guess he stopped cutting and started eating. Then his coach called him, was like, yo, we got a fight. And he tried to cut from like 190 to 155.
Oh, it was him. Okay.
Yeah. So we're driving to, we're in Montreal, and I had to go to, the fight was in Gatineau, but I had to go to Montreal to get a CAT scan. Mm-hmm. So we're driving to, Montreal, and it was, Cole Smith, who was in the UFC, was with us. Jamie Horth, Cole's brother. There's the team out of Sound of Squamish out in BC. So they're there. I'm like picking Cole's brain. They're like, yeah, man, your opponent's been like, he's been in the sauna every day cutting weight. His coach is killing him. I'm seeing pictures, the kid's in a sauna suit, like hat, head, trying to make the weight. Like he'd been there for like 3-4 days, like went from like 190 to 170. And his coach said, I guess he got within the like 0.1, but he couldn't balance. Like, so it all worked out. Cause like, yeah, the fight game is, it's a business, but at the end of the day, both guys want to make it home. Had he made it, he would have had a good first round, but once I got him down and elbowed him, I probably could have killed him. So kid's 23. I want to see him make it home to his family. I want to make it home to my family. So it worked out the way it did.
And are you still signed on with TKO?
So TKO ended up going under. Oh. So I'm kind of a free agent, man. I've been trying to go pro in MMA for the longest time. I'm just kind of waiting on the fight experiences, like waiting for the opportunities to come up. FLA wanted me to fight, and then COVID happened. And then, so I'm just kind of waiting, really, just kind of chomping at the bit to get back in there. It's been a long time.
I seen that. I don't know if you competed in it. Did you do the one of the FLA submission series?
I was going to, but something came up, so I couldn't do it.
And have you, like, I had Kyle McNeil as my second guest, and I asked him this, but was there a lot of events that were affected because of COVID that you might have been preparing for?
Oh yeah, man. So like, had COVID not happened, I would have had my pro debut May 2020. I would have had my pro debut. But we kept grinding. We've been boxing, so just kind of waiting for the fights to come in. It's hard around here because like I fought most of the guys. I'm known in the MMA community, and not much guys really want to fight me. So I got to take what I can get when they come.
And I was gonna say, so looking forward to 2022, which we are right now. Do you see yourself as having any more opportunity for a pro debut in MMA, or you see yourself still There's working?
ECC/Nova Kickboxing is trying to put on shows. Mm-hmm. FLA is trying to put on shows, but really, man, I want to fight out of town. I want to get like BFL, out in BC, Rise out West, Unified. BTC. I want to fight on the road because really I can fight around here, but no one gets picked up around here, man. You got to fight. You got to fight out of town and where you basically walked in to lose. Those are the fights you want. That's how you get that. That's how guys get to the big show. You gotta go and take the tough fights.
And two, isn't it that a lot of times, once you get to know the scene, you make friends in the scene and you might have to fight some of your friends, right? Or people, you know, and people, everybody kind of already has an idea about what one person is. But if you go to another place, maybe they have no idea who you are. Or does that not really affect you?
There is, but I look at it this way. If you're in my weight class, man, you're a target. So yeah, there's friends in this game, but like Drake said, man, there's no friends in the industry. Like, yeah, he can be buddy buddy. I can train with him, but if we gotta fight, we gotta fight, man. It's business. It's weird. Like, look at Dan Boper, who I trained with at Fit Plus, and Brett. I train with both guys, bro. Like, guys, yeah, fight. It's a fight game, man. It's a business. And when it comes to making money and taking fights, man, friendship can go out the window.
You brought up a really good quote from Drake. You think Drake and Kanye still have a beef with one another? I've seen they did some type of charity.
They always, man, guys at the top, they get there because they're competitive. They want to win. So anyone who's a true competitor, they're always gonna want to be the better guy and want to compete, man. It's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And I guess next thing I was wondering is who are some of maybe growing up some role models or some mentors that you have in your life currently?
Currently, guys I look up to, hard to say. I definitely look up to Castillo Clayton because he's a guy from North Preston, yes, out there doing his thing, man. I look at the guys like him, Gavin, because I train with him, another local guy doing his thing. It's hard to say, man. Like, we got guys like who's training with us, Neville Provo, who's like another guy from the North Preston doing his thing in business. Like, I look up to guys who like come from nothing and are working here to make it to the top.
Yeah, speaking of Castillo, is he not training in Las Vegas now?
I think he is. Hard to say, but I see bits and pieces on social media here. Mm-hmm. But he's doing his thing, man, to go to the Olympics and then put himself in Montreal and take these fights, man. He's out there getting after it.
So have you met him in person yet?
I've never met him in person, but I just look up to him because a guy like me, right? He looks like me. He's out there training, doing his thing. Like, what he's doing in boxing, I want to do in MMA for Nova Scotia, for the black community.
That's a very admirable goal to have. And next question, just a little bit off topic, but are you a fan of Pokemon?
Oh yeah.
What's your favorite Pokemon?
Gengar.
What's his do you know his abilities offhand?
I think he's
what type ghost of Pokemon?
He's ghost and I forget the other, man. I've been so behind on Pokemon, man. I gotta get a Switch and get into these games. I've been slacking hard.
Yeah. And you were saying, can you tell everybody, so when a new Pokemon games comes out, right? Don't you have most of your friends or whatever, you get together and play the new Pokemon?
Yeah, me and a buddy from work and some of his friends, we go down to his college and just play Pokemon and watch anime for the weekend, you know, have some fun, game out.
Are you surprised that a lot of MMA fighters like Israel Adesanya, Demetrius Johnson, Sean O'Malley, just to name a few that are into gaming or that they're into anime and comics and that type of stuff? Are you surprised that that's become a very common thing now?
Yeah, not really, man. Everyone, like, you look at like the stuff they watch, like Naruto, man, that's like the underdog story. A lot of these animes, like, you look at, they're like the basic underdog story, man. I grew up watching anime and not knowing it was anime until my buddy showed me, and I was like, oh, geez, man, I've been watching anime my whole life. So it's kind of one of those things, man. Everybody, you'd be surprised, everybody's into anime and all that stuff.
For sure. Is there any movies growing up that really stuck with you? Were you a Rocky fan or Creed fan, or was there?
I liked Rocky. I liked 300. Yeah. Creed wasn't bad. I'm trying to think movies. I forget the MMA one with Tom Hardy. That one was good too.
Yes, it was the two brothers.
Based off like the Cola guy was based off Fedor. I can't think of the name right now for the life of me. Okay. Southpaw was good. And I've been more a show guy than a movie guy, to be honest with you.
What's some shows that you've been watching lately, or that some of your favorite shows?
South Park, by far favorite. Rick and Morty. Yep. Right now I'm watching Mayor of Kingstown, Power Ghost Book 2, Snowfall when that comes back on. Mm-hmm. City on a Hill. I like gritty. It's weird, man. For like people shows, I like gritty crime shows.
Really?
Yeah. And then when it comes to like, other than that, I just like cartoons.
Yeah, fair point. Trailer Park Boy fan at all?
Yeah, I watched that growing up. I watched that growing up. I watched a bit of the cartoon, but it's like, it got to a point where it's like, the show just kind of got old. I stopped watching.
I was always a Mr. Leahy fan. But what's interesting is like meeting and talking with people from around the world. Like that's how we get noticed from where we are in Nova Scotia. Like the Trailer Park Boys is like an international thing that.
Yeah, it's surprising how big the show is.
Yeah. I never really knew what it was. I mean, I remember growing up, it was something on television and like.
Yeah.
I never
really... 39 showcase every Sunday. I'd watch it. My nanny would be like, boy, why are you watching that show with cussing? All this cussing going on the TV, like watching it back then to like now it's on Netflix and it's global.
I remember watching South Park when I was really young and like, yeah, exactly. Like I had family members who like, why is all this cussing? So I just turned the volume down and just put the closed captions on so I could watch in peace. Like leave me alone. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we had a nice chat, and I really appreciate you coming on there.
No problem. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, and this isn't the last time that we'll have you on. You're always a wonderful person to talk to, and I'm really glad that I had you on. And I guess just in closing, for anybody that wants to get in contact with you. What's your social media handles?
Ripsat155. I'm on Facebook, Sean A. Mondre. If anyone's looking to learn wrestling, any high school kids, I coach at Tribal, Sundays 5 to 6. You want to train MMA, check out Fit Plus. You want to box, go to Tribal. Shout out to all the coaches. Shout out to all my teammates from both gyms, friends and family.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and I hope we have a good rest of your night.
You too, man.
And I hope you've enjoyed this fifth episode of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. Andrew is always a treat to talk to. He's somebody that I really enjoy talking to at the gym. Very humble, easy to approach about any type of topic. Doesn't even have to be about boxing or MMA. Really nice guy, and I really look forward to seeing what his year is going to look like in 2022. I hope nothing but the best for this guy. He's an amazing guy and a true friend. So everybody, until next time, I hope you have a good day. Stay safe.